So, these doom-laden readings are very fitting for the small news theme, because, of course, no one volunteers for desolation, but we tend to find ourselves there from time to time, whether we like it or not. Not mostly. It has much to teach us. When we are desolate, God feels very distant. We feel alone, abandoned, helpless. Now, it may come out of the blue. It may come for no obvious reason. Or something huge turns our lives upside down. So we feel bereft, and we feel powerless and alone, and very small. In a landscape is featureless, a wasteland, such perhaps as we are getting too used to seeing on our TV screens after a morning. In that emptiness, it feels as if there is nothing significant, no meaning, let alone a brighter or a better future. Not only are our readings today desolate from the beginning to the end, but they are prophetic, apocalyptic. Revelation foretells the end of all things as we know them. In our gospel, Jesus' words and actions, his prophecy, concern not only the fig tree, but the ending of the temple in Jerusalem. And the causes are the same. But prophecies are misleading and strange. Their meaning is rarely, if ever, clear at the time. We may remember grappling with Shakespeare's Macbeth at school. There were prophecies in that, weren't there? But nothing was ever quite what it seemed. And so obvious, we don't look beyond their obvious meaning. We miss their subtlety and wisdom if we just write them off. At almost any other time, these readings might have felt disproportionate, unreasonably violent, because we got into the habit of taking peace pretty well for granted, didn't we? But now, we fear for our planet and its people. We grieve all the destruction. We may have visited places which are now close to war zones. And it seems that devastation, desolation perhaps, is all coming very close. We wonder what you've done to bring this on our planet, and we are not the first generation to be unsure how we can have got it all so very wrong. But today's readings assume that such things happen because we've all got things terribly wrong, that we are not blameless. We have misunderstood the way the world works. We have forgotten or ignored God. If we do that, how can God ever be seen plainly in and through our own lives? And the consequences are obvious. If we try to live to our own praise and glory rather than God's, destruction, desolation will ensue. Now, the fig trees in both readings are significant because they are a sign of being settled on your patch. They signify the resources for the following year. You have a fig tree and a vine. But when Jesus approaches this fig tree, there is no fruit. There is no promise for the future. The following day, it has withered from its roots. The lesson could not be clear. They themselves, God's people, chosen, founded, rooted in God, cannot flourish without God. In the temple, they are indignant when Jesus sweeps away all the wheeling and dealing there. He's showing them that it is all pointless. The temple, is no longer founded and rooted in God. Therefore, it cannot flourish. It might as well be swept away. The passion, the violence even, which Jesus shows in the temple and in cursing the fig tree is significant too. Perhaps nothing less than a dramatic gesture of those sorts can stay in the memories of those people or be taken seriously. Revelation shows us violence and devastation on an epic scale. The natural order is destroyed. A settled community life is a thing of distant memory. Everything is shaken, knocked down, distanced, out of place. Nothing behaves as it should. The heavens are rolled up like a scroll. The earth quakes. The moon is like blood. The stars rain down like bullets. People are terrified and they hide. And the devastation and the desolation feels total. How strange that we are reading this and pondering it, having seen the damage wrought to some communities, not only by war, but also by Hurricane Milton. Such desolation. But desolation is not the end. No one is ever ultimately abandoned by God. We go through all sorts of tough times for all sorts of reasons. We are wise if we hunker down during the danger, if we reflect, if we pray, if we ask God to help us to be humbler, wiser, more loving, more centered on God. So they may not feel like it at the time, but such times are life-giving, changing us, teaching us, shifting our priorities, aligning us more closely with God's longings for us, if we will learn to do so. We understand more deeply that everything belongs together under God, and that God is trustworthy. We emerge with a new sense of purpose, even urgency, a new heart to accompany others during tough times. Perhaps it changes us and we decide to act on behalf of a cause we love now dear. Watching the news, we may want to help change the world. We may change how we live or eat or recycle or use our time to fit our adjusted priorities. And desolation, loss, is part of the cycle of renewal. It's painful, it's not something we volunteer for, and we try to avoid it, but we can't. So we are to take courage to engage with it. It's a necessary part of the life-giving cycle of growth and renewal. That's true for each of us personally, and for us as the community of God's people here. So may we accept what comes our way. May we walk with others during these times. And may we also do the more difficult work of becoming increasingly aware of what is not centred on God. Avoiding it, calling it out if we need to do so. In short, may we discern, may we learn to discern God's ways more truly through the tough times, to let God be God and walk in God's way.